No, we're closing out our It's All About Me series. Jesus saying, hey, it's all about me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. It's about me. And there's been a progression to this. Pastor Jazz came up with this series and has done an excellent job of the last couple weeks preaching the word. I know he's not here, but he'll be watching. Give him a round of applause. And so he started talking about follow me. Jesus calls us to follow him. And last week, remain in me. He talked about the different the branches being connected to the vine, right? And he held up the two branches. He had his illustrations going full throttle last week, right? And then today we're talking about imitate me. Jesus saying you got to be like me. And it makes sense, because the more time we spend with Jesus, talking to him, reading about him, studying out his life, the more we will become like him. And becoming like him is the true mark of knowing God. Look over in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, have it up here on the screen for you as well. It says this, in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 4. It says, if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Those who say they live in God should imitate Jesus, should walk as Jesus did. Amen. Now, when we read this, we understand that, there's some things we got to really think about in our lives, especially if we say, I know God. Many of us will say, I know God. And the scriptures teach us that, okay, well, if you really know God, then you're going to have to answer another question. Because the answer to that question, do you know God, is found in the answer to this next question. Do you act like Jesus? Let's go a little bit deeper. Do you love God? Not just know God, but do you love God? Now, many of us will say, yes, I love God. I love him. I have warm emotions. I was excited as we were singing. I'm grateful to God. Yes, I love God. I grew up loving God. Do you love God? The answer to this question, according to this scripture, is also found in the answer to this next question. Do you obey his word? Now, for some of us, the answer is yes. Amen to that. We do the best we can. And it's true. We know God. We love God. For some of us, the answer is no. We know we ain't living right. We're not faking it. That's how I was before I became a Christian. I was not going to tell you I love God. I was not going to tell you I was a Christian. I wasn't trying to be a Christian. My life was not imitating Jesus at all. I knew it. I did it on purpose. I was risking it all for this world. Hopefully, God will be patient with me and allow me to run wild for a few years so I can do what I want to do. And then when I'm ready, around 30 years old, around there, because when you're a teenager, that seems really far away. You know, around then, I'll settle down. I'll become a good guy, a nice guy. I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll be an upstanding citizen. But I wasn't acting like I was a Christian. For some of us, it's yes. For some of us, it's no. And still, for some of us, the answer is no, but we think it's yes. For some of us, our pride has blinded us. Now, remember the five closest people to us? Sometimes the truth to those questions lie in the answers that they would give about us. Are we humble enough to ask our family and our friends, does my life remind you of Jesus? That's humble. I'm sorry. Opening up yourself to that type of feedback, that's hard to do. But it's a hallmark of humility. Do we want to know the truth, or do we want to keep living in a lie? Because the Scripture says here, if we claim we know God, but we don't obey God's commandment, the person is a liar. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to keep living a lie if I'm in that third boat. Today, we have a chance to come out of that, start living in truth, start living in the light, and make some changes. Make the changes that we have to make so that we can really obey this passage. Because I am convinced that if we're here today, most of us, the majority of us, have a sincere desire to be right with God. Why waste our time on a Sunday morning? We could be sleeping right now. I know deep down inside we are created to long for God and to love God. And in those moments by ourselves with God, we really want to do the right thing, but it's a spiritual battle. You know, the reason why it's so important to study God's word is that in his word is where we see the complete picture of Jesus. And we can't be like Jesus if we don't know what he was like. Right? Any athlete, you know, a few of us play golf or try to play golf, right? We know that we can never play like Tiger Woods at his prime if we don't watch him play, right? We know that if we're basketball players, we can never play like LeBron James. We can't dribble to the left behind the three-point line, fading away for the game winner. King James strikes again. Oh, we don't got no King James fans in the house yet. I thought, but they're struggling right now. See, y'all iffy, iffy LeBron James fans. We can't play like LeBron James if we don't watch how he plays. Now, we'll play like somebody. We may do the best we can. But if we don't watch it, if we don't watch them, we can't imitate them. And if we don't see the life of Jesus, there's no way we can imitate who Jesus was. Anybody remember these bracelets? Yeah. Some of us it ain't remember. I think they're back because vintage is back. Old school is back. Anybody got a WWJD bracelet on? No. We got one in the back? No? I know. Where's Chris Dorellis? I know he wears his. He may be in Kingdom Kids. These were back in the day. WWJD. What would Jesus do? I had one of these. What would Jesus do? Yeah. Yeah. ¿Qué hiciera Jesucristo? That's what I had. Q, H, no, I'm just kidding. JC. What would Jesus do? You know, they were stylish, right? And now I think they're a little stylish. I was researching this. I saw Kanye with one on. Oh, no, come on now. Y'all going to hate on ye? Ye versus the people, baby. Y'all can't get mad at Kanye West. He's an artist. Why make him into a political figure? Why? Anyway, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let it go. You know it's a PR stunt. You know that. He got one of them hats for you, though, if you want them. Anyways, moving on here. What would Jesus do? You know, the thing about me, though, I wore it, and I was sincere at one point, at different points in my life. I mean, I wasn't a total pagan. There was times where I actually wanted to live right, you know, especially after you feel very guilty about your life. You're like, I got to change this. And so I'd wear the little bracelet, and situations will come up, and I remember looking down at the bracelet and thinking, what would Jesus do? But I didn't know. Like, I literally did not know what he would do in this situation. And the reason being is that I never read the Bible. I had it. And my mom, bless her heart, and my abuela, tata, they would give me Bibles and spiritual books just about every birthday. Here. And I had a little library that I would never read. I wasn't ready, but I remember thinking, what would Jesus do? And so I defaulted to not WWJD, but WWAGPD. What would a good person do? Or I defaulted to WWANPD. What would a nice person do? But neither of those things do Jesus any justice, right? You know, minimizing Jesus to a good or a nice person is like, It's like going to Six Flags and getting on one ride. Or just going to the little kiddie section, right? Yeah, but there's so much more to the park, right? You know, it's like going to Golden Corral and just getting an appetizer. There's just so much more to explore at Golden Corral, you know? Better yet, it's like marrying somebody after looking at their Instagram page. Now, there may be some truth to that, but it's not the complete picture, is it? Now, it would be foolish. It would be foolish to get in a relationship by just looking at somebody's best pictures of their best times with the best filters they can find. And not just looking at Jesus in that way, but settling for this bite-sized version of Jesus. It's like you're not doing yourself justice and you're not doing Jesus justice. There's so much more to consider. For example, look at this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 21. Same concept here about imitating Jesus. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. So if you thought, I want to be like Jesus, but I don't know how, this scripture helps us. We learn a lot about Jesus. It says that he never sinned. What is our attitude towards sin? What sin in our lives have we just conformed to? Maybe it's lying when there's a just cause in our heads, right? You know, maybe it's not cheating on our wives, but maybe it's just flirting at the job, right? And I'm not going to tell this lie, but this white lie, I mean, I can make loopholes around this law. Well, where is our conviction towards sin? Do we understand that it is sin that put Jesus up on the cross? In what ways have we compromised and we allowed ourselves to say, justified, and say, it's not that bad? We're good, upstanding people. There's people out there that are robbing and stealing. Look at the news. Those people, those murderers, those rapists, those are the bad people. Me, I live a good life and I have a good heart. What sins have we conformed to? It says that he never even deceived anyone. My goodness, that's rough. Deceit is not telling the whole story, right? It's making it sound better or worse than it really is. I was hanging out with my father-in-law, and he dropped some knowledge on me. He said lying comes from fear. And he said, you know what, I try to tell people, you know, be brave enough to tell the truth. You don't have to lie, right? Because it's the fear of getting hurt. It's the fear of people knowing who you really are. It's the fear of people thinking of you in a negative way, right? And so lying, a lot of it is just comes out of fear. And God just wants us to be real and honest. And you know what? If people can't love you through your struggles, then you probably don't need them in your life anyway. Says he did not retaliate nor threaten revenge. Whew, that's hard for me. I got to confess. I'm sorry. You gonna try me? Not today. Look, Jazz was talking about not today saying, I tell people, you know, that's what I want to tell people, not today. Man, in your marriage, you feel tried, you know, you feel like saying, not today, With your kids, not today. You're not gonna try me. At the job, people talking about you behind your back. And we want to take it into our own hands and retaliate, right? It's hard. It's hard to take it when people sin against us. But Jesus left his case in the hands of God. And for me, that's helpful. So this teaches me how I can practically walk like Jesus walked. That when somebody comes at me, when somebody hurts me, then you know what? I can leave that in God's hands. And who better? Who better fit than God himself, right? Who better fit? Because he always judges fairly. We have to entrust God with every part of our lives. But my nature, I'll be honest, my nature is to take control. My nature is to do things my way. I want to handle things. I'll handle it, God. Especially if I let God have it at first and it didn't work out the way I wanted to. See, I should have done it myself the first time, God. Man, I gave it to you. I entrusted it to you. This is not the way things should have worked out. And sometimes that's a challenge, especially when we try to do the right things and it doesn't work out in the way that we want it to. Now, God is perfect, and he has a plan, but it takes great faith to trust him. Back in verse 21, it says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering." This is Christ suffered. And so this means that Jesus is calling us to imitate him and his suffering. See, things I've learned in the past few years is that I wanted to be like Jesus except for this part. I don't want to suffer like Jesus did. I don't want to be betrayed like Jesus was betrayed, right? And so I've really had to wrestle with this, even this past week. This past week, it was really challenging. My friend Tim Cunningham, many of you may have heard his story on the news. He worked at the CDC, and he was a friend of mine. We went through Lead Atlanta together. Was in the same cohort in a small group. And it was just devastating, one, to hear that he went missing a couple of months ago, but then to hear that they found his body. It was just very, very sad. And his funeral was on Saturday, and I was good up until this past weekend, and through this week, I was just hurting. It's just sad. And I had to figure out, okay, I'm preaching on imitating Jesus, so what would imitating Jesus in grief look like? What would imitating Jesus in suffering look like? And so, WWJD, what would it be like? How did Jesus mourn? How did he deal with those who were mourning? I was reminded of John. Jesus had a cousin named John the Baptist, who was beheaded by King Herod. Can you imagine your cousin being beheaded by the king? And Jesus, what did Jesus do in that moment? He went away to a solitary place to spend time with God. But after that, he came back and he served the people. He healed the people. He fed the people. I said, okay, I need some time to myself. I need some time to work this out, but I got to get back in the fight. I thought about how when Lazarus died and his sisters were there and the family and friends were there and they were mourning, and even though Jesus was going to bring him back to life, he still wept with them. So he mourned with those who mourn. I said, okay, I'm free to mourn with those who mourn. I don't have to be, to save everybody. I don't have to help everybody get out. I can just mourn with people. And so it helped me. This week, it helped me to study this out in a very practical way. Learn this, that tragedy, suffering, and loss can paralyze us or in due time propel us toward our purpose. And the reason why I say that is because at times this week I felt like I don't want to do anything in the grief. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit here. I'm not motivated, right? And so I felt that temptation to be paralyzed by this grief. But then what happens is you start thinking about what's most important in our lives. When we suffer, when we experience loss and tragedy, it can clarify our life's mission and vision and purpose and say, with the few days that I have left, how do I want to spend my time? What do I want to accomplish? What is going to be meaningful? What is going to be significant? How am I going to be able to leave a legacy beyond me? My friend Alex was suffering. Now, you wouldn't know it, right? People wouldn't know from the outside looking in. What he told me this past week is something very true. People assume you're happy because they look at what you have. And, he had a great job. He has a nice car and recently bought a home, but he was empty. Money, success, girls, popularity, status, those things were not able to fill the void in his life. And he talked about, and I could relate so much to this, those quiet moments late at night thinking about, what am I doing with my life? This is not who I want to be for the rest of my life. I want to be better. And he came to church in January. He turned to God. He said, I'll give God a shot. And I'm going to come to church with my friend Nate, but I'm going to go one time. One time, I'm going to try it out. If it ain't, if I don't like it, I'm leaving. Well, he kept coming, amen. But he started studying the Bible, and in the beginning of the year, he had this set of goals. And he said, man, this is the year where I want to just turn the corner in my life as a whole. And the first thing on that goal was to get baptized. Yeah. But it was so amazing because as he studied the Bible, as he started getting with the brothers, and we get together every other week consistently. I mean, Alex was just going after his relationship with God. A few weeks ago, he sent me over a new set of goals. He said, I want Jesus to be Lord of my goals. And while he's still a little rough around the edges, he has decided to follow Jesus, to remain in Jesus, and to imitate Jesus. And today, Alex will be getting baptized. Amen? Now, Stacy is another example. I met her husband, Coach Moreno, while volunteering as a character coach over at North Clayton High School over in College Park. And Coach Moreno was the offensive coordinator during that season. And I remember that summer, even before the season started, I took my oldest daughter, Layla, to a 7-on-7 tournament. And Stacy was there with her husband. And I remember just how Stacy and Layla just connected. Like Stacy was just looking out for Layla. I could go do my sports thing, and they were looking at flowers and hanging out together. And so, but it was so encouraging the way she connected with my daughter. And, you know, Moreno decided, hey, I need to get my life right. I want to follow Jesus. I want to remain in Jesus. I want to imitate Jesus. And so he was baptized last year. And that was so amazing in and of itself. And over time, Stacy has continued to grow in her faith and studying the scriptures for herself and getting with the sisters and learning more about Jesus. And she too has decided to follow Jesus, to remain in Jesus, to imitate Jesus. And today she'll be getting baptized. You know, I just want to encourage Moreno, just the way he has led his family spiritually. He has been an example at home. And who you are at home is who you really are. You can act how you're supposed to act in front of church people. You can come to church, put on your best suit, look good. You can either go out to the job, put on a show. But when you come home, what happens behind closed doors is who you really are. And Moreno has grown so much. He set a great example and really has helped by showing Stacy what it looks like to really imitate Jesus on a day-to-day basis. I know we have a number of family and friends, Alex's family and friends, Stacy's family and friends here. So thank you for just being a support. I know how grateful they are that you are here today for such a special moment in their lives. And thank you for all the support that you showed them throughout their lives. I know they are grateful for that and grateful for you being here. And I just want to let you know that we're here for you as well. However we can serve you on your journey, we want to do that for you. And you know, speaking of journey, we have our journey class that we're going to start next Sunday. So if you say, if you're thinking in your heart, in your mind, say, I want to grow in my relationship with God. I want to continue on this journey to be who God wants me to be, then we're doing a three-week series starting next Sunday for 3 weeks, 11:45 to 12:45, where we meet you where you are in your relationship with God and help you get to where God wants you to be. So you'll get an opportunity to sign up for that at the welcome table, but we wanted everybody to understand that we want to give you that opportunity as God gives us the opportunity to serve you in any way that we can. Amen. But I'm so proud of both of you, and I'm excited about what the future holds. As we get ready to take communion, you know, just ask yourself, where am I? You know, could I benefit from following Jesus, remaining in Jesus, and imitating Jesus? And imitating Jesus means that we got to imitate his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what we see at baptism. That's what they're going to do today. We die to our sin. We're buried in the watery grave, and we resurrect to a new life. Now, his death, his burial, his resurrection is also what we celebrate when we take communion, which is what we're going to do in just a moment. Taking communion is an opportunity for us to both remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross, but also to reflect on his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for our communion, and we're going to pass the tray around. We'll pass out the crackers that represent the body of Christ that was broken for our sin. And you'll take a piece of that, go ahead and eat a piece of that, and then we'll also pass around the juice. And the juice represents the blood of Jesus that forgives us of our sin. And then we'll just have some time of reflection as we think and remember what Jesus did for us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the life that he lived, the death that he died, and for raising him to new life for us, God. Father, we confess our sins. We're all at different places on our journey today, and yet all of us fall short. We thank you for your grace. Not only that, God, but your desire to walk with us, to mold us, to shape us, to help us to be who you have called us to be and to accomplish the purposes you have given us for our lives. As we take this communion, we want to honor you. We want to thank you and show our gratitude as we reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Pray that you will work on our hearts during this time. And that as we go through this week, continue on with our lives, that you will help us take the next steps to imitate Jesus. In his name we pray.